Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us. As we roll through, 800-795-9565. That was a really interesting conversation with him.
That was really cool. Tom Phillips, WWE, talking WrestleMania. Never know who's listening.
Is it, again, I have no issue with that. I could care less. I mean, they have to put out whatever programming they think is going to be interesting to people. Professional wrestling is interesting to people. They'll draw the crowds, they grow up. They usually draw pretty good ratings on USA. And they're up front about it. I mean, at least they're up front about it. They don't make you really think that, Now, when I was a kid, we'll get to the play-by-play call of the day in a moment here. When I was a kid, my mother would get so furious at my brother and me about watching professional wrestling. The other thing she hated us watching was the Three Stooges, so that's okay. It's needless to say the two of us watched professional wrestling, and we watched the Three Stooges.
You'd sneak downstairs Saturday night at midnight to watch the only, because back in the day, there would only be like one 60-minute pro wrestling show back in the day.
No, it was on like Saturday afternoons.
Really? Right after Bandstand?
Yeah. Well, I don't know what was on before it. I can tell you right now, I didn't watch Bandstand. I kind of sat there and went, wow. She's like, well, I don't want you watching that. Like, okay, Mom. Yeah, sure. Yeah. And they come on next week. All right, Three Stooges. I don't want you watching the Three Stooges. Yeah. But I like Mo. So we're bad kids. All right, time now for our play-by-play call of the day. David Locke with the call as Gordon Hayward slams the Lakers.
Here comes Mack. Kick out to Hayward, attacking the basket, rising and packing it with a left hand on top of Roy Hibbert. Posterize that.
It is the largest win in Jazz history. They won 123-75. They beat the Lakers by 48 points. Now remember, this is the Lakers who still have Kobe Bryant. They killed them last night. They are really struggling. Hey, by the way, did you see what the men's lacrosse team at Penn State did over the weekend?
Defeated Denver. Fantastic win.
Beat the number one ranked team in the country. They won like 20-something in a row. They beat Denver. I talked to Quint Kesnick. Dick and I were talking to him out in Indianapolis. And Quint does a lot of lacrosse on TV. And he was telling us how good Denver was because he was going to do Denver against Notre Dame coming up that weekend. So he thought it was going to be a big deal. And he was telling us how good Denver was. And Penn State beat him. Went down to Dallas. I think we won like 15-10 or something like that.
Very well-rounded, very versatile reporter. Football, horse racing was on Matt's side for the national championships a couple weeks ago.
Oh, Quint's a good guy. By the way, no ego. Zero. Like, no ego. Like, down to earth, hang around kind of guy. Gotten to know him. Actually, I've been able to get to know him through Dick Girardi. And good guy. Like Quint a lot. Okay, 800-795-9565. That was really cool that Tom called. Thought that was great, worked out. Get his perspective. He's going down. He's going to be working it, obviously. Let's see.
How was he in your class?
Really... he was good. No. He was good. The NFL is demanding a concussion story retraction from the New York Times. Rory McIlroy is not going to play in the Masters Par 3, says it's a hassle. And did you see the little kid that ran onto the court last night in New Orleans to hug Carmelo Anthony? The look on Tim Frazier's face, who now plays for New Orleans, was funny.
I wonder if the kid asked him, Carmelo, are you going to play with Bron someday?
he just hugged him, and Anthony, like, okay, and then the officials escorted him off the court. It was, you know. Let's see. Let's get some scores here. Get everybody up to date because the Phillies were in that delay, and they were leading 4-1. There's a lot of soccer today. Jeez.
That's right.
Oh, look, Albania.
Team USA Albania plays Guatemala tonight.
Yeah, they play tonight in Columbus.
Yeah. Must win. That's a must win for Team USA. Coach could be in some deep trouble if they lose tonight, and they may not get into the World Cup.
This is about the Olympics, isn't it?
World Cup. World Cup qualifier tonight.
Oh, there's a World Cup qualifier tonight. Dealt with the Olympics.
Yeah, 2018 World Cup qualifier tonight in Columbus. You mentioned that stadium. They have a lot of games for Team USA at that stadium in Columbus. It's built for soccer.
Oh no, I love that. I've seen the place. It's really nice.
Yeah,
really, really nice. The first ever in the country built that way, and then a lot of people ended up copying them. Philadelphia did. Denver has. Los Angeles has a really nice place. Penn State practiced out there for the Rose Bowl. I think it's called the Best Buy Center now, maybe. But I was impressed. Very, very nice.
It's like the Phillies and Yankees decided to bag the rest of their game. The Yankees were up at 1.71 before the lightning struck last hour.
I'd bag it, too. Well, it's spring training, for goodness sakes. You don't sit there and... hey, let's play on. No. It's just you get your work and you leave. It looks like Temple's going to try and build a football stadium. It's not a done deal, but they're trying to somehow, they want to build it in back of, Dick showed me the area. It'd be like a 35,000 seat stadium, something like that. And because right now, to be honest with you, the Eagles charge a pretty high rent for Temple to play football there. And, high rent. That's, I don't think it should be that way, but... It is. Last year, obviously, they drew well because they not only played well, but they got Penn State to play in their huge crowd. They got Notre Dame to play in their huge crowd. And that really helped. Now, Temple's coming here this year to play Penn State. But that's what they're looking to do, is they're looking to build possibly a 35,000-seat stadium in the back end of campus. Right on the edge of some tough time neighborhoods. And then that has to come into play. I mean, you have to come into play with that. As to whether you're building it. Would it help build the area up? It might. I don't know. It's not going to be on Broad Street. It's going to be back of that. If they do it. They don't have it quite set yet. It is not a small matter when it comes to money at all, for obvious reasons. Even at 35,000 seats, it's not going to be small. You're going to see what, you know, there's going to be a price tag that comes with what Penn State wants to do, which they'll announce this summer, so whether they're going to renovate or build. Because you can talk about all the facilities you want to take a look at Penn State. The one that impacts people the most is, what are you going to do with Beaver Stadium? And that's what you're looking at. So, UConn won last night, but they're the only number one seed into the Final Four on the women's side. That's it. That's it. Usually in the women's tournament, you usually get 14 of the top 16 through, and usually the number one seeds dominate the Final Four. So, there's also an interesting item that came out today with the Free Report. And this deals with, and I'm, look, when it comes to the legal stuff, I'm, you know, I don't even play one on the radio. I already know that. But it was an admission by, it's in the Graham Spanier suit against Free. And it was an admission that the conclusions that were made, and this is quoting them, were opinions and not conclusions. That's interesting. It's kind of interesting wording, don't you think? Just thought I'd throw it out there for everybody as well. Okay, Phillies, of course, get rolling next week. We'll have the opener with the Reds, which will be, what, a 4:05, 4:10 start on Monday. Does that sound right, Sean?
That is correct.
So, yep. So we'll do a partial show on Monday leading into the pregame. And then
I have just enough time to talk about the national championship game for Monday night.
Yeah, just enough time for that, and we'll find out who that's going to be. And I think that should be – it's interesting. The shooting in that dome is not great. I mentioned the 39.8% in the nine NCAA tournament games that have been played there. And, again, you know, you're not in there playing the Southland Conference Championship. It's – I mean, you're talking about some of the better teams in the country because they've only played – they don't play – the first two rounds there. They're playing the regionals there, and then, of course, they've had a Final Four there, which UConn won. And Butler, I think Butler only shot 18% in that game. But you're looking at the aggregate of nine games played in there at 39.8%. It just isn't good. And they all talk about the depth perception in this place. And I know everyone looks at Lucas Oil Stadium, and they say Lucas Oil Stadium is as passable for a gigantic arena as a basketball place as you're going to find in this thing. And that Houston is the least. And they now put the court in the center of the building. So it's right there at the 50-yard line. And the court's raised and the benches are down underneath. And normally what teams do is they'll come out, they'll warm up. And then with about, I don't know, 10, 11 minutes to go before the game, they'll head back to the locker room, get a beverage, cool off just a bit, and then they'll come back out, well, I don't know, but about, what, 3 minutes to go, and then finish the warm-up and the national anthem. In the Final Four, you can't do that because the locker rooms are so far back. Because they're off the football field. They're back underneath in the stands. And basically, they try to find the team's a little holding area for a few minutes, get drinks, beverages, and then go back out. It's just too far from the locker room to the court. But it's sold out. And in the end, I guess that's what counts. They'll have approximately 75,000 people there for it. So, not bad. We'll find out the basketball. If Buddy Hield goes out and goes 6-10 in shooting from three, it'll debunk every depth perception problem in the building. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sunbury Motors has the cure for March sadness.
It's Ford Truck Month.
Sunbury Motors Ford has your truck. So avoid March sadness and don't miss these Truck Month deals. Choose from over 100 new F-150s with savings over 10 grand. F-150s start as low as $25,219. The Ford F-150 has been the number one selling truck 39 consecutive years.
There's one sold every 42 seconds.
Pick from over 65 new 2016 Ford Escapes and take $3,750 off. And they start from just $20,490. Get 0% financing for up to 60 months on all 2016 Escapes, Explorers, and Expeditions. And 2015 Edges and F-150s during SMC's March Truck Sale. Sunbury Motors is also the area's premier commercial truck center, stocking super duties like chassis cabs, crew cabs, dualies, and diesels. Avoid March sadness. Come get your truck at Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza.
All right, great to have you with us. Bottom of the hour news. It's going to be an interesting baseball season, which we'll have for you here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Phillies have actually done pretty well down in spring training, but that means nothing. I mean, everybody's experimenting at this time of the year. I mean, that's all they're doing. And that's... You know, you're trying to check out a new stance, a new way going about things, experimenting with a pitch, a slot location, something like that. And you're playing every minor leaguer available because you're trying to see what you have in your organization. You're trying to see who's going to make the team. Now, the Phillies they're a little bit different, for example, than the Pirates right now. This is a role reversal compared to 7 or 8 years ago. 7 or 8 years ago, the Phillies were trying to look at maybe spots 22, 23, 24, 25. To see how they're going to fill out with another pitcher, maybe another outfielder, maybe another infielder. The Phillies are, I think, essentially have been looking at spots, 14 through 25. And it's flexible. And you have the Pirates, on the other hand, they're set. I mean, everywhere you look, they're set. There's nothing for them to do. They really have the bullpen the way they want it. They really have the fourth, fifth outfielder the way they want it. They picked up David Freese, so now they have the infield the way they want it. They have the catchers the way they want it. They really were taking a long, hard look in the Pirates camp at some of the minor leaguers that they might have to turn to if somebody gets hurt. Like last year, for example, when Jung Ho Gun got hurt, Pedro Florimon had to come up. The Phillies are in a different spot. They're trying to really plug maybe even spots 12 through 25. There's certain guys you expect to be a part of it. And obviously, Ryan Howard and Chooch and so forth, and Cesar Hernandez and Michael Franco. Those guys you'd expect to be a part of what's going on. Some of the starters in the rotation. But they're in a different spot. 3 years from now, it's going to be really interesting to see where they both are. Will the Pirates be searching a bit because of free agency losses? And will the Phillies be coming on because now it's all coming together? That's going to be interesting to see how the next 3 years plays out on both sides as to the direction each one goes. Will free agency eventually get the Pirates? Because I think it's the one area that can get them. And will the Phillies develop? Where now, you know, they've started to put together the core base of what a potential championship team in the mode of what was seen in the Houston Astros, for example. The Astros, you know, everyone thought it was going to be some sort of five-year plan, and last year they made the playoffs. This year they're the favorite going into, you know, they're the favorite to make it again. And is it the Astros plan that you're modeling this against? Interesting. Because the Phillies certainly have developed, I mean, have made some trades to get more talent in the organization, and they've made some moves to make the organization deeper. I think everyone thinks Crawford's going to be a really good player for them. I think a lot of people think Roman Quinn. I think Roman Quinn is eventually going to be a big contributor for them. Michael Franco, I've always liked. I've always liked Michael Franco. All right, final half hour of the show coming up here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio today. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio today. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Time now for our sports bozo of the day. And the UFC star, John Jones, arrested for violating the terms of his probation. He was arrested and booked in Albuquerque in a detention center for violating probation. He's 28, was processed. He was serving an 18-month supervised probation in which part of a plea agreement he signed in September stemming from a felony charge for leaving the scene of an accident. According to the spokesperson for the Albuquerque Police Department, Jones was cited for drag racing on March 24th. Also had equipment modifications, a license plate issue, a failure to maintain a driving lane, and exhibition driving. Other than that, Jones, by the way, has adamantly denied he was drag racing, saying he was simply revving the engine of his white Corvette to acknowledge a group of fans in the vehicle next to him. In video of the incident released by the Albuquerque PD, Jones is seen arguing with the officer, who was wearing a body-mounted camera while maintaining his innocence. At one point, he refers to the officer as a liar. Now, they only show the incident between him and the officer. They don't show whether or not he was actually drag racing or not. Interesting. All right. So that's our sports bozo of the day. It's always easy to find these. These are not difficult things to find. 800-795-9565. 800-795-9565. The question we posed is that ESPN is going to do some lead-ups to WrestleMania, and then they're going to do a post-report on WrestleMania. So do you think that, I mean, do you find that interesting? Do you think it's, you know, look, first of all, SportsCenter is not sacred. You can put whatever you want in there. You got to put in what you think people want to see. So I don't really, you know, it doesn't matter to me one way or the other. I just want to know if you, the audience, finds it interesting. 800-795-9565 is the number. I'd like to jump in. We'd love to hear from you. This is something Jonathan Coachman, by the way, is going to be the one hosting it. And it makes sense to have him do it. I know that Michelle Beadle is a huge WWE fan, but Coachman worked for the WWE for a long time. He's got all the connections. Dick in Milton. Hi, Dick. How are you?
Hello, Dick. I just wanted to bring this up for a minute. You were talking about shooting in a depth perception in an arena in basketball.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I grew up where one of the local schools actually played on the stage yet, so irrespective of that. And at one time, Davis Gym was like almost like going to a Mecca. Now, that said, can you think of another sport other than basketball where the background makes that much of a difference as like playing in a place like even playing in Bryce Jordan where you have such a long way behind the baskets? I mean, you could play a hockey match outside in the Grand Canyon. It wouldn't make any difference, I guess, is what I'm saying to you. It's just in basketball, it's the only sport I can think where that perception makes a difference in shooting a basketball as opposed to anything.
I agree with you. I can't think of any other sport where depth perception means anything. It was interesting because I was talking with my class about how to announce baseball, and I actually did bring up depth perception. And I said, when you're at a ballpark, I mean, Dick, you know, I mean, all the times you've been to Memorial Stadium and Oriole Park and to Camden Yards, how many times have you seen the fans on a fly ball to the outfield? Whoa! And the outfielder doesn't move.
Yeah,
right?
Pretty much.
And I said, the key to announcing baseball in that situation is that you don't follow the ball. You follow the fielder. The fielder takes you to the ball. So if the ball's hit in the gap and you're watching that center fielder, left fielder, and they're both on their horse and they're moving to the gap, I mean, that's how you take out the depth perception problem as an announcer in baseball. But I completely agree with you. There's no other sport where, like basketball, where the depth perception means something and it only comes into play in the final, no less, because all the other arenas are, you know, you're right, the Jordan Center's cavernous, but, geez, it's not like this.
Well, but, you know, I mean, like, we'll go back to Syracuse where they play in the Carrier Dome and places like that, but you know, yeah, as opposed to the old Bandbox gyms where the wall was literally almost behind the basket. Of course, there weren't many fans sitting there, and now it's just the guy shooting that three-point shot, that's a long way. It seems, it depends on what he's looking at. Obviously, he's supposed to be looking at the basket, but I just find it always interesting as a guy that, as opposed to the way things are today in some of these places. And, you know, they play inside of a football stadium almost, and it's kind of ridiculous in a sense, but that's what they want. They want 100,000 people watching a basketball game, I guess, or 80,000.
They want the money from it. That's what they want. They want the money from 100,000 people being in there. I did, years ago, I've done 4 games in the Superdome. And it was a little different the second time I went there. They closed it up a little bit. And it actually ended up being, to their credit, Dick, I think they did a pretty good job of making it feel like it was a natural court. They tried to make it into a 25,000-seat situation. But the first time I did a game in there, first 2 games I did was in the Sugar Bowl tournament in 1984. And they took the court, Dick, and they pushed it up against the sideline, up against the wall at the sideline. And then they brought the seats across from the other side of the field. But in the end zone, but they centered it. So, the sides were fine, but there was nothing in the end zone. And after a shoot-around, I just thought for the heck of it, I'd go out and I'd miss my usual 5-6 shots. But I'd take a couple shots and see. And, Dick, when you're looking at the plexiglass, at the board, you talk about zeroing in on the rim. When you're in that situation, you have to, because behind the plexiglass is nothing and the seats are so far back. This was back in 84, obviously.
Right.
So far back. I mean, it really is stunning how bad the depth perception is when it's like that. And what they do now is they take the court and they put it in the center, and those seats only gradually go up because they're trying to get, you know, because you're trying to make it in such a way where the football configuration is still usable for seats.
Well, I was in the Sugar Bowl to see Penn State and Alabama back in the 70s. It was where they had the goal line stand, and you know the game. And I'll make a long story short, we were in the upper deck, pretty far up. And I tell people it's probably the best game I've ever watched, because it was actually, we were so high, we were actually like watching a checkerboard or a chessboard in front of us when you look down. And you could see literally the whole game at one time, which you really can't do that very often.
Wow.
It was kind of neat.
Can't.
It was like... And I thought it was, another part of that story was Pete Fountain played at halftime, and I thought, we'll never hear this. And it was like you put headsets on. It was that quiet in there other than him playing. It was incredible. But that's my Sugar Bowl story. But played at halftime. He played, just a closer walk with Thee. And I'm telling you, it was almost like you put headsets on. It was really incredible. Because I really like that stuff, and I thought, man, we'll never hear this. But it was really impressive. That was my only trip ever to New Orleans to see the Sugar Bowl, but it was kind of neat. Penn State didn't win. That was the only drawback to the game, so yeah. I'll let that go at that. But I was going to tell you one other quick story about baseball with the Orioles. Now, they're starting to refer to them as like a beer softball team because of the all the home run hitters on their team. They might not get anybody out, but everybody in that lineup's going to hit a lot of home runs. It's just the way they're stack that lineup this year with the extra guys that they picked up.
So, you know what? They're in an interesting division, Dick. I mean, I don't think there's any clear-cut leader in that division. I don't know about you. I don't see anybody who's a favorite there.
Yeah,
I mean, I know Toronto's the defending champ, but...
The only thing that scares me about that, you better be leading the Yankees by the sixth inning, because I can see I'm not giving up many runs from the sixth, seventh inning one with those relief pitchers. There again, they have to have the lead when they get that far. I'm not sure how their starters are, and the Orioles are just the opposite. You know, they might score a lot of runs, but they might give up football scored runs too. I don't know. We'll see. It'll be interesting.
And with the Red Sox, what's interesting is they went out and they acquired a closer in Craig Kimbrell. And Kimbrell's the kind of guy that is a... He can be even a 1 2/3 kind of guy. He's not just a ninth inning guy. And that was a big acquisition for them to get a closer of that caliber. And he's had a great spring to back it up.
Okay, I'll let you go. I just thought it was interesting when you talked about the perception in basketball. I'm looking at the difference in Rec Hall to Bryce Jordan. Rec Hall's not, because it's not very deep behind the baskets when they play in there or whatever, you know. It's just a big difference. I always thought Bryce Jordan is not really a user-friendly basketball facility.
It's not great for concerts. No. I think almost everybody feels the way you do. I know I feel the way you do, Dick. I'll tell you, of the new arenas, you want to know what I think is the best single basketball arena I've been in? That's just a great basketball arena, great sight lines, great depth perception. The Indiana Pacers place. Bankers Life Fieldhouse, where they have the Big Ten tournament. That is the perfect basketball arena. If you ever get a chance to just go in and see it, Dick, I strongly recommend you go in and just take a look and say, you know what? When they wanted to play basketball, this is what they meant.
Well, it's like wrestling. When we were out to Carver Hawkeye for the Big Ten championships, I don't think you'll see a better place to watch that many people watch a wrestling match because of the way it's configured, literally. I mean,
by the way, okay, let's start with this. Okay, fess up. Did you smell the kettle corn when you walked in?
Smell the what?
Kettle corn.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you could smell that.
All right, of course you can. It's the only arena I've ever been in. Like, oh, my goodness, even at shoot around, you can smell it. It's interesting the way that place is built, because you go in at the top.
Right.
And the seats cascade down. And then all the areas that pull out on the bottom are in perfect configuration with the rest of the arena. It's not that expensive, but it's really well done.
Well, I guess what made me think about it, I was watching the reruns of the PIAA, whatever, one last night, and they were on again a little bit this morning at Hershey. And even that facility, obviously not 15,000 or 16,000 like Bryce Jordan or Carver Hawkeye, but it was steep on the top, as opposed to where it's real gradual. It doesn't seem like you're that far away from the mats at Carver Hawkeye. Just the way they build it, I know that's a perception too. When we were in row 23 in the Penn State section, and they were, I mean, literally pre-match, you could see them perfectly. So.
Every part of Carville Hawkeye, it's evenly distributed. In other words, there's not one section that's bigger than the other.
Right.
I think it's perfectly symmetrical the way it's built, and every seat points to the center. And I think that's what makes it really effective as an arena. And you can have concerts in there, and you can do all sorts of the seats pull back. You can practice basketball in there. It's no big deal. Plus, they have their own practice facility anyway. But this whole thing about, well, Bryce Jordan is great for concerts, and you're absolutely right about that. But, you know, you can build basketball arenas that are great for concerts.
Right, I understand that.
They did not do a good job here with that.
Well, the other thing about Iowa, obviously Carver Hawkeye, is they found the only hole in the whole state to put a facility in. Maybe because there's not a lot of high ground in Iowa. Obviously, I mean, I think Kinnick Stadium's the same way. The football stadium's almost like they found this high stadium and then went down. But it's kind of neat the way they did that. So basically, on the other place. I mean, basically, you'd have to put fill in to do a stadium like that. So it's just the way it is. It was a natural for that.
Yeah, it is. It is. And the funny thing about Kinnick Stadium is I've said to Jack, I said, I think we're in the highest point in the state.
Yeah, I asked some people in Iowa, how'd they find it? Did they hold, you know, it's amazing how they just, you know, those two places like that, and then they just went down. But that's just a geographical thing that it worked out perfect for those two facilities.
Yeah, it did.
And Michigan,
right. And most of Michigan's in the ground, too.
I will never go back to Michigan to a game. Ever, ever, ever.
A Yale Bowl is in the ground.
I'm trying to figure out at Michigan if you have to go to a restroom or get something to drink, you probably miss a quarter of the game as far as I'm concerned.
You know, probably, you're right.
Well, because of the way that's configured. You know, literally, you could be in row five and you have to go up, what, 1,000 rows? It's kind of like being at Beaver Stadium for a football game, because I've had seats all over. Unlike you, I've been low, I've been high, I've been all over. But for example, when the guys are selling stuff, the only guys who ever get to the top are the guys selling hats. Nobody ever gets up there with a drink. I mean, they just don't get that high. You know,
I understand.
So I'm not sure why they haven't corrected that yet, because I spent a whole season up pretty high at one time, and, you know, the guy selling hats, he'd be there every game, but the guy with the lemonade, the coffee, the hot chocolate sodas, he never got that high. He never had left
did
after
buy,
he got...
Look, did you buy a hat?
I mean, how many hats can you wear at one time, I guess? I'll let you go.
Thanks, Dick. Appreciate it. That was great. We'll come back. We'll come back, wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Great to have you with us on this Tuesday, brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Had a lot of fun today. A lot of fun, in fact. So, it's great to have everybody on board. All right. So, it's interesting talking about arenas, ballparks. I remember going down to Old Memorial Stadium and seeing games. And I've been there for football. I've announced football in there. And I've gone down there for baseball. And I was not enamored with the place. I love Oriole Field at Camden Yards. I love that place. Beautiful place. Citizens Bank Park, I think, is great. But PNC Park's the nicest one I've been to. Now, AT&T in San Francisco, that's pretty darn nice, too. I'll tell you a place I'd like to see. I'd like to see Safeco Field in Seattle. It looks like it's a pretty cool place. But I've never been to Seattle. A lot of places I've been. That's one of the few places I haven't been to. I haven't been to the Pacific Northwest for whatever reason.
Buddy of mine and I, we took a road trip in 2003. We went to Cleveland. Of course, I left my Steelers stuff at home. And we just did a whole week. We did a whole weekend. We did the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, took in a Cleveland Indians game at the Jake, and that was a great. That was a very nice ballpark too.
Yeah, that's a great experience. That's a great experience. Okay. You know, the funny thing is about I can go to the Jake anytime I want because Tom Hamilton and I are friends. Who's the voice of the Indians, and he keeps. Come on up, sit in the booth. Come on. I'm like, oh, yeah, okay. I said, Tom, it's like a 5-hour trip. He's like, I know how long it is. I drive to State College. I said, yeah, but they pay you to drive to State College. That's a little different incentive when they're paying you to go someplace. I remember driving one time to Ann Arbor to do an Illinois Michigan wrestling dual meet on BTN. Right. So he said, that's a long trip. I said, man, they're paying me for that long trip. I'm fine. I said, everything's all right. Not worried. It's amazing when there's an exchange of paper, you're really not as concerned about certain things. Okay. We got a lot going on tomorrow. By the way, April 6th. We have a show April 6th, right? So let's look at that schedule. I think we do. That's a Wednesday. We're okay on that day, right? Come on, Kerry. Look it up.
We are. Okay. Yes. Phillies have a 7-10 that night, Phillies game. Yeah. Yeah, we're good.
Tony Knopp, the CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management, is going to be on. We're going to talk about the business of sports right before the Masters. A tradition unlike any other. We want to apologize to all the fans that missed their IndyCar updates. I'm sure you're both upset. Stop laughing.